Well, welcome everybody. Welcome to our service this Sunday morning. We're going to start with a very special announcement. We welcome to our church family Master Wycliffe Niawara, who arrived safely on Friday afternoon, the 10th of July. A new baby boy for Stella and Freddie, and a brother for Daniel. So congratulations to the family there. I'm sure that we are all wishing them well, and we're hoping that we will be able to see Wycliffe in the not too distant future. So welcome. This morning we're shouting joyful praises to God. We're going to sing about the glory of his name and tell the world how glorious he is. We're going to say to God, how awesome are your deeds. His enemies cringe before him. Everything on earth will worship him. They will sing his praises, shouting his name in glorious songs. And we're going to join together to sing that great hymn of praise, "Oh, for a thousand tongues to sing," after which Mark is going to be leading our service.
Good morning to you all. I hope you can hear me. It's wonderful to be able to think of ourselves as joining with a thousand voices in praise to God, and let's hope that we'll be able to come back to church before long to actually be together to sing together. Let's begin our time with prayer. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for tongues to sing your praise. We thank you for the new life that we've received in you. We thank you for Jesus, who made that new life possible by his work on the cross. And this morning, Lord, we gather together in the way we've become accustomed to learn more of you, to come closer to you, and to be blessed as we hear from you and worship you. So, Lord, will you be with us in our homes? Be with us collectively. And will you be with us in this week to come as we take something of the blessing of this morning throughout this week? We thank you, Lord, and we praise you for Jesus, and we pray in his name. Amen. There's lots of jokes going on, aren't there? Do you want to hear the good news or do you want to hear the bad news? And most of the ones I've come across this week aren't in very good taste at the moment because they're about medical issues. But I did come across one which is, I hope you'll find, slightly amusing. A young lad comes in after being out for the evening, looking a bit sheepish, and he says to his mother, "Do you want the good news or the bad news?" And she said, "Okay, we'll start with the good news." And he said, "The good news is that the airbag actually worked." And there's others as well. Good news and bad news. I think if I was a news presenter or a journalist at the moment, I'd be like they are on the BBC, trying desperately to find some good news in all the difficult stuff. But this morning, I hope we can open up something of God's word together to celebrate the good news that we have because of Jesus. There's always negative stuff going on, but let's look on the positive side in terms of the hope we have in Jesus and the work he's done for us. And it's time once more to celebrate in song. Let's sing together, "Lord, I lift your name on high." Thank you.
Lord, I lift your name on high.
Mary's now going to read from Romans for us. Thank you, Mary.
Good morning, everybody. And I'm reading from the New Living Bible, and it's Romans 8, verses 1 to 11. So now there is no condemnation for those who belong to Christ, and because you belong to him, the power of the life-giving Spirit has freed you from the power of sin that leads to death. The law of Moses was unable to save us because of the weakness of our sinful nature. So God did what the law could not do. He sent his own Son in a body, like the bodies we sinners have. And in that body, God declared an end to sin's control over us by giving his Son as a sacrifice for our sins. He did this so that the just requirement of the law would be fully satisfied for us, for no longer follow our sinful nature, but instead follow the Spirit. Those who are dominated by the sinful nature think about sinful things, but those who are controlled by the Holy Spirit think about things that please the Spirit. So letting your sinful nature control your mind leads to death, but letting the Spirit control your mind leads to life and peace. For the sinful nature is always hostile to God. It never did obey God's laws, and it never will. That's why those who are still under the control of their sinful nature can never please God. But you are not controlled by your sinful nature. You are controlled by the Spirit. If you have the Spirit of God living in you, and remember that those who do not have the Spirit of Christ living in them do not belong to him at all. And Christ lives within you. So even though your body will die because of sin, the Spirit gives you life because you have been made right with God. The Spirit of God, who raised Jesus from the dead, lives in you. And just as God raised Christ Jesus from the dead, he will give life to your mortal bodies by the same Spirit living within you. Thank you for the word.
Thank you, Mary. Our next song is a modern version of an ancient psalm which we know so well. And I love this one because it gives our response of trusting God in response to the ancient words of the psalm. So let's sing, "The Lord's My Shepherd."
The Lord's my shepherd, I'll not want. He makes me lie in pastures green. He leads me by the still, still waters. His goodness restores my soul. And I will trust in you, and I will trust in you alone, for your endless mercy follows me, your goodness will my ways in righteousness, and he anoints my head with oil, and my cup it overflows with joy. I feast on his pure delights, and I will
So quite a difficult passage from Romans that we heard, and I chose that translation because I think it simplifies things reasonably well without dumbing down the language too much. Romans is perhaps the pinnacle of Paul's writing in terms of the theology of salvation, and the chapters are a little bit artificial, as we know. The verses and the chapters weren't part of the original script. If we wind back to chapter 7, we have the bad news. The struggle with sin, the fact that the law was inadequate, the fact that Paul himself has this internal battle as to wanting to do the right thing but then failing to do so, something which we can all share. But we begin chapter 8 with the good news, where we read, "So there is no condemnation for those who belong to Christ Jesus. We're not condemned because of our sin anymore when we belong to Jesus." And that's the good news, the gospel that we all share and we all know. God has found the solution to all the world's woes. One way of putting it that I heard this week was that there's a new sheriff in town, a new way of dealing with the law. God steps in personally to deal with the wrongs of the world. He steps in the person of Jesus. The wrongs of the world, the wrongs that we as individuals struggle with, he puts us right. He restores the relationship destroyed by humanity getting it wrong. And somehow, in a mysterious way, this is done by his body on the cross. He takes on the sin so that God has something to condemn, not us, but the crucified Saviour. So that was 2,000-ish years ago. What enables this to be true for us today? The answer comes later when Paul talks about the work of the Holy Spirit. The presence in us of the Holy Spirit, living in the Spirit of Christ, enables the salvation to come to us today. If you can imagine a sponge in water, the sponge is saturated in water. Imagine a bucket of water with a sponge inside. You can't say the sponge is only in the water, because the water's in the sponge as well. And it's a bit like the Holy Spirit living in us. We are immersed in the Holy Spirit when we say yes to the love of Christ. And it's not something to be frightened of. Sometimes I think in the traditional churches we tend to be a little bit wary of this notion of the Holy Spirit living in us. We're frightened that somehow he's going to take us over and make us fall over and speak in strange languages when we don't want to. And that's right for some people, but if it's not right for us, God won't choose that path for us. The Spirit of God, the breath of God, is a way of picturing, of trying to explain or illustrate this new life that we start when we say yes, when we say amen to the love of God in Christ. As in Genesis, when God breathes on the lifeless Adam, a rebirth takes place when we accept Jesus as our friend, our Saviour, and our Lord. But of course, we still have a tendency to be selfish, to react badly when others sin against us. But because God's Holy Spirit is encamped in us, he's taken up residence within us, we're more likely to do the right thing, and we're more likely to live closer to God's ideal. As Paul writes in verse 9, we've got that on the screen, you are controlled by the Spirit if you have the Spirit of God living in you. It's not a control which is a control for negative reasons, it's a control for good. We're more likely to do the right thing and live closer to God's ideal when we recognize the Holy Spirit is living in us. We're more likely to make the choice to love our neighbor rather than to walk on the other side of the road. And we are revitalized for this life and given a promise of everlasting life when our mortal bodies die. We're given life and peace that enhances this life. And the gates of heaven are open to us when our bodies give up and are no longer of use to us here. Yes, there's a struggle with sin within. That's something we all face. Not only our own sins, but what happens to us when other people sin against us. But overriding that is the defeat of sin on the cross. And that's what we celebrate when we think of that sacrifice of Jesus. When we come to the table at Holy Communion, we celebrate the sacrifice which has broken that barrier of the destroyed relationship between us and God. And we have a new life and a new Spirit of God living in us. That's good news. It's all good news, even though we're surrounded by negativity often. It gives us hope for the times when, as the psalm says, we walk through that valley of the shadow of death. We know that there is light beyond that, and there's life beyond death. So we celebrate and we give thanks to Jesus for his great work for us. Let's pray together. Father God, we sometimes find it so hard to get our heads around this business of salvation and the theology behind it, but we thank you that you've given us the Holy Spirit to help us to find simple ways of just saying yes to your love. We don't need to be theologians, we don't need to be scholars, we just need to be humble people coming to your gracious generosity and saying yes to that gift of love. And we thank you that when we receive that love, new life begins within us. Ordinary life goes on, but there's a new relationship. We're no longer condemned, and we praise you for taking away that burden from us. We bless you, Lord, and we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. So let's sing again. Another wonderful traditional song. And I found a video which Adrian's using this morning for us of an Australian performance, children singing in the open air of this wonderful hymn of John Wesley. And can it be that I should gain an interest in the Saviour's blood? Let's worship together. Martin's now going to lead us as we boldly approach that throne of God with our prayers of intercession. Thank you, Martin.
Thank you, Mark. Let us pray together. Almighty God of heaven and earth, you have invited us into your presence. Loving Heavenly Father, you welcome us with open arms as we come before your throne. We ask your forgiveness for the things that we have done that have displeased you this week, for the errors that we have caused you or others, or the pain that we have caused ourselves. For these we say sorry, and we welcome the forgiveness that you give and the fresh start as we move on. We pray for our world, Lord, still in its state of pandemic lockdown. We ask that where there is fear, you would bring comfort. Where there is pain, you would bring healing. Where there is unrest, you would bring peace. Father, be with the leaders. Give them the abilities to see beyond their desires and to make decisions that are right and good. We pray for our country, for this nation with all of its diversity, that there would be unity. We pray for the newly unemployed, that you would bring hope. For the nervous, that you would bring peace. For the lonely, that you would bring comfort. Father, be with the decision makers. Grant them wisdom as the lockdown is eased, that they would know your guidance and your peace. We pray for our town as we move into the next phase of this pandemic, that people would act with wisdom and care. We pray for the businesses refinding their feet, that employers and employees would respect one another, that job losses would be down to a minimum, and that businesses would increase. We continue to pray for all the frontline workers who have continually given themselves to keep us fed, cared for, and protected. Give them strength, give them peace, and bless them, Lord, beyond their expectations. We pray for our church, that as we continue to meet in virtual services for the foreseeable future, that you would bless those who take our services. You would bless those who tune in and attend. You would bless those who download the services, and that we may grow in our love for you, and that our service for you may continue. Father, loving Father, be with us in these coming days. Be close to us, hold our hands, and guide our paths as we seek to walk with you, to serve you, and to grow closer to you. We bring these prayers to you in the all-powerful name of Jesus. Amen. Let us say the Lord's Prayer together. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. Amen.
Let us sing our final hymn, a hymn that reminds us of Christ's commission to us. Go forth and tell. Thank you. Almighty God, you have broken the tyranny of sin and have sent the Spirit of your Son into our hearts, whereby we call you Father. Give us grace to dedicate our freedom to your service, that we and all creation may be brought to the glorious liberty of the children of God, through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who is alive and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Now, let us say the grace together.
Grace of our Lord Jesus Christ,
and the love of God,
and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit, be with us all, now and forevermore. Amen.
The service next Sunday will again be a virtual service, and I will be bringing the message next Sunday. We will be having the church open on Saturday morning between 10 and 12 for those who want to come and have prayer in the church. Do we have any other notices from anybody this morning?
We've just mentioned that Francis is next. Bible study Zoom will be this coming Thursday at 7:30. Hopefully all the details will come out before then.
Okay. And that will be Ruth chapter 4, if I remember correctly.
Yes, that's correct, yeah.
Anything else from anybody?
Only that I know Stella's listening, so if we could all just give a clap and a welcome to her in a hospital bed at the moment listening to us. So sending lots of love, Stella.
Yes.
Congratulations.
And to the little one.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, let's, in fellowship, say good morning and good day to each other as we go and have our meals and have the rest of our day in our homes. Good morning, everybody.
Bye.
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 See you soon. Bye.
Thank you, Adrian.
Bye. Thanks, Mark. Thank you.
Have a good week.
Thank you, Mary.
Bye.
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 Adrian, is the email screen up?
Right. God bless everyone. Yeah. God bless.
Bye.
Bye.
Have a good week.